theme today, but I want to take advantage of the fact that it's Father's Day. And, you know, Dave already mentioned that we seem to discriminate against fathers. You know, we take the afternoon off so that we can get the mothers to lunch on Mother's Day, but the fathers, I guess we give them the day off by keeping them here for the afternoon.
So they can take their wife's lunch.
You know, when we think about Father's Day, though, I'm sure we all have hopefully fond memories and of the importances or the importance of our physical fathers. You know, if each of us had a perfect father, it wouldn't make sense for us to be obeying somebody else's father, who was maybe of a bad character, right? Doesn't make sense. If you have a perfect father, doesn't make sense to obey someone else's father. I mean, that would be insulting. That would be stupidity. Well, when we relate to the world system, the world system wants to encourage you to operate in your own will, to operate in your own strength, independent of God. The world system wants you to operate independent of the will of God. And so that's important for us to keep in mind. So I want to take advantage of the fact that it's Father's Day. And now that you've been sensitized to the word father, I have a little verse medley for today. And so we want to lead you through this verse medley. You'll see that we haven't completely set aside the theme of the world system for this. But I thought, well, let's just do this. Let's have fun. I'm, sometimes we've done some things that have been a little unorthodox. I remember the summer we did a series in the afternoon on going through the theology and certain hymns and things like that. And there can be benefit in doing that. And so I just want to go to a few places sensitized to the word and the concept father, and maybe it'll touch on some things or just help us to think of things maybe in a way that's been different than what we have. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful for the encouragement that is ours through it. We thank you for the opportunity to be with one another, to be with other saints. We value these opportunities, and we pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct, and may you bless us in this time. In Christ's name, amen. So we are going to keep with the theme of the world system, and we know that the world system has a ruler. And we've kind of hit on this over and over. The world system has a ruler. In John 14:30, we see a reference to that fact when the Lord says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince," or just the ruler of this world, "is coming and has nothing in me." And so here you see the Lord referencing the ruler of the world, the world system. And we know that person is has many titles. We know one of them is he's referred to as the malignant evil one. The malignant evil one. And so you see in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world system lies in the authority of the malignant evil one. And so let me just read 1 John 5:19. Peter the Apostle says, and we know, factually know, that we are out from God. And so we are out from the God as the source. And the whole world lies in the evil one, the malignant evil one. And so the world system is, it's his baby. It's under his authority. And he uses it as a means of trying to influence others, to spread his corruption. And it's interesting when we put some things together is, you know, the devil, Satan, the malignant evil one, he's the spiritual father of the unsaved. Let me just illustrate this back in the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And so in the Gospel of John chapter 8, let's pick up in verse, we'll pick up in verse 39. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And so we're going to see the Lord here. He's speaking at this point to a group of unsaved Jews, and he says, "And you do that which you and you do that which you have seen with your father." So it's kind of interesting when the Lord speaks here, because they're always kind of a step behind. And you see that in verse 39. And they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." So they're tracing back their their lineage to Abraham. Well, he was talking about spiritual father. They're doing that which they have seen with your father. And Jesus says unto them, "If you were Abraham's children," "children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard." And it's just, it says of God. In the Greek, it's para, from alongside God. He says, "This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." And so now, now they're exposing themselves in their ignorance. And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came out from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." And then he asked the question, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word." Now he makes the statement, "Ye," you all, talking to these unbelieving Jews, "you are out from your father, the devil." Now, how was he their father? He was their spiritual father. "And the lust of your father you will do." You, not in a future tense, but you desire, that you desire to do. That's where ultimately our nature comes from. And so he says, talking about their father, the devil, he says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaks the lie. When he speaks the lie, he speaks out from his own." A lot of interesting things in here. for he is a liar and the father of it. And so the devil is the spiritual father of the unsaved. And as we just saw, the father, though, sent the son. The father sent the second person of the Godhead. If we go over to 1 John in chapter 4, in verse 14, here the apostle says, and we have seen. And so the idea of seen, beheld, and do testify that the Father sent the Son. In other words, testifying to the deity of the person, Jesus Christ. And he says, and we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be Savior of the world. Now, the world can be used in a number of different ways. It's not being used here of the satanic system, but it's being used of unsaved humanity. And so the Father sent the Son to be a quality of Savior of the world. Back in 4:10, we see reference to the substitutionary work of Christ. It says, and this is love, not that we loved the God, talking about the Father, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. And so the Word came to be flesh, the eternal Word. And so we, back in the Gospel of John in verse 14, we see that the Word came from alongside the Father. Let's go to 1 John 1:14. Or not 1 John, the Gospel of John. Did I say 1 John? Sorry, sometimes I do hear myself and it registers. But that's a mistake. So John 1:14. And the Word was made, or just came to be, became flesh, and tented amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, or just the unique one of a kind, from alongside, it's para, from alongside the Father, full of grace and truth. And so he was sent by the Father, and he came to do the will of the Father. And so in John chapter 6, in verse 37, so the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37, we pick up here, and the Lord says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And so not all of unsaved humanity, but all of the Father that gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And so he came to do the will of the Father. And Dave touched on the humanity of the person of Jesus Christ. In his humanity. He was the perfect example. The perfect example. The perfect substitute. So even when he was distressed in the realm of his human nature, remember, he didn't have a sin nature. The virgin birth is important in that regard. When he was operating so strictly in the realm of his human nature, he was the perfect example of one who was seeking to do the will of the Father. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. In Mark 14:34, and so this is the Lord in Gethsemane here in Mark 14:34, and so I'll just pick up here. Let's pick up 33, and he takes with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now, this is in the realm of his human nature. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And so he's going to have this communication. And this communication is interesting because of what he says. And this is in the, he's operating in the realm of his human nature. He says, and he went forward a little and he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Well, that would be understandable, right? In the realm of his humanity, as he knew what was about to face him. Now in verse 36, it says, and he said, Abba, Father. Father, Father. Now, you're sensitized to the word Father already for this message, so keep that in mind. Abba, Father. All things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, here's what it boils down to. In his humanity, he wasn't looking forward to what was before him. But what did it come down to? What's the perfect example? Nevertheless, not what I desire, but what you desire. And so there's, and he comes and he finds them sleeping. Well, let's see, we can just end there, I think. But what you desire, Father, let that will be done. And so, even at that time, he was submitting to the will of the Father in the realm of his human nature. Now, in going back to the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, makes a very profound statement in verse 6. Jesus says unto him, talking about Thomas here in the upper room, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but, or we could just translate this, except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so that's important. I mean, I don't know. I've heard some, was talking to someone last week about something that Billy Graham had said that was not in line with Scripture about how some of the different faiths of the world basically believe the same thing. And in the same God. you know, you would have to completely discount this verse to try and spin that. When he says, nobody comes unto the Father except through me. In chapter, if we go on in chapter 14, let's just go to verse 16. We have reference to the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord says, and I will ask the Father as an equal, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you unto the age, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither experientially knows him, but you experientially know him, talking about the Holy Spirit, for he dwells alongside you and shall be in you. And so as I read that, a couple of little adjustments to bring out the Greek there that brings some clarity from the Greek. And so he says, for he dwells alongside you, but he shall be in you. And so the Lord here is looking forward to what was going to be possible after his cross work. In verse 20, we see he's referring to the day of Pentecost as we know it, when the Holy Spirit came. It says, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And so a number of things here, but that he's in the Father, and that you all will be in me, talking about the position in Christ, which happens by Spirit baptism. And then he says, and I in you, we're talking about the Son being in the believers by regeneration. And so it was going to be necessary for his cross work and the sending of the Holy Spirit for that to become a reality. In Luke 24 and verse 49, here the Lord is speaking. He said, and behold, I send the promise from my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Talking about when the Holy Spirit would come. That was a promise from the Father. Now, as Christians, we have a new spiritual Father. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but rather you have received the spirit of son placement. King James reads adoption. In the Greek, it's just a compound word, son placement. You've received the spirit of son placement, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father. We'll come back to Romans 8 if you want to hold your finger there. We'll be back. But let's go over to Galatians first. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. And I want to read Galatians 3:26 and 3:27. So here Paul speaking to Christians when he says, for ye are all, not children, as the King James reads here, it's the Greek word for sons. Sons have the concept of a position of privilege. And so, should read sons. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so he's going to explain in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so it's by spirit baptism that we are immersed into Christ, and we're all placed as sons in Christ. And that's through faith. Now, if we go over to Galatians in chapter 4, let's pick up in verse 6. And Paul says, and because ye are all sons. Now there, it's interesting. The King James translates it correctly. I don't have to change it there. But he says, and because you are all sons, God, the God, talking about the Father, has sent forth the Spirit of or from his Son into your hearts, crying, Father, Father. There is a relationship with God the Father because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the work that was accomplished on our behalf. And we see that Father relationship. Father, Father, Abba, Father. Now, if we go back to Romans, and we'll pick up where we left off in chapter 8, and let's read verse 16, because the Holy Spirit also co-witnesses with our human spirit that we're actual born ones. We're actual born ones. And so in Romans 8:16, for the Spirit, not itself, because he's a person. And so we would translate this himself. The Spirit himself bears witness. It's kind of co-witness with our spirit. And so, and what is the Holy Spirit co-witnessing or testifying with our human spirit? That we are the born ones of God, the children of God. So not only are we sons, but we're actual born ones of God. And so this father relationship that we have, by regeneration, we're born again. We're born again in the realm of our human spirit. You know, he that has the Son has the life. We have eternal life. But that eternal life doesn't show itself too well through a sin nature. It's interesting how that doesn't work. Just isn't going to work. So, you know, God had to work out something so that we could still manifest it, even though we have a sin nature. He gave us pretty clear instructions of how to live free from the sin nature, right? We refer to it as the truth, body of doctrine of how we can live free from serving the sin nature. But it's not just through a nature that eternal life is manifested. It's because the Father, his seed remains, is at ease in the believer, remains in the believer, and by that the Father's indwelling imparts a new nature to us, a new quality of nature. A quality of the divine nature. Let me just go back to 1 John in chapter 3. And we want to pick up in verse 9. 3:9. King James starts whosoever, but it's just all of the ones. Having been born out from the God, talking about the Father, do not habitually, I'm going to commit sin. Don't customarily or habitually commit sin. For his seed, talking about the Father's seed, remains in him. And he cannot habitually, customarily sin because he is a born one, or just he is in a state of having been born out from God. And so there's a new quality, there's a new nature that's involved so that we can do the will of the Father. Now, if we go back to 3:1, here John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, now I have to correct this the other way, not sons, but children or born ones, that we should be called children of God. And then I would add the textual variation, and we are born ones of God. Therefore, the world doesn't experientially know us. It doesn't experientially know us when we're manifesting ourselves as born ones. When we're manifesting regeneration, the fact that we have eternal life that can be lived out through a new quality of nature. The world system and unbelievers, they don't experientially know us. It says because it knew him not, didn't experientially know him. Beloved, this loved ones, now are we not sons, but the born ones of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, and that hope's based on promise from God, that every man that is having this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So I've commented on this before, and I'll probably circle around back to this, is the happy hope. You know, I'm grateful that we all share the happy hope. And the happy hope has a purifying effect in present tense salvation. And it's interesting that he's tied this into being born ones of God here. Over in 1 John 4:4, here John reminds the believers, he says, you all are out from the God, little born ones, and have overcome them. Now he's talking about false prophets in the context. He says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so the he's that I believe he's referring to, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here in this context. You see that by this in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Spirit from God. And so I think he's talking about the Holy Spirit in contrast to the one that's in the world. That would be the malignant evil one. Now coming back to the concept of these false prophets. In verse 5, he says, they are out from the world system. Therefore, speak they out from the world, and the world hears them. In contrast, in verse 6, we are out from God as the source. He that knoweth God, this is experientially knowing God, hears us. He that is not out from God does not hear us. And so, in other words, you need divine help, supernatural help. You need the Holy Spirit if you're going to hear and respond to these truths that are laid out in God's words through the scripture. Now he goes on in verse 6, he says, hereby, or just by this, experientially know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, in verse 7, beloved, or just loved ones, let us love one another. Coming back to that concept, it's going to be hard for me to get away from that if we're going to be talking about the world system. But beloved, let us love one another, for love is out from God as the source. Agape love is out from God as the source. And everyone that is loving is born out from God and is experientially knowing God. And so, if we want to manifest the fact that we are sons of God with a place of privilege in Christ Jesus, we want to manifest the fact that we're born ones of God. There's a simple way to do that. Be filled by the Spirit and fulfill the new commandment to love one another. And you're experientially knowing God. There's a quality of experiential knowledge that's taking place through that process. And so in 1 John, when the apostle in chapter 2 in verse 15 tells these young men who had some spiritual growth and strength in their Christian lives, but he tells them to stop loving the world system. To stop loving the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world system has a ruler. Satan is the ruler of it. It doesn't make any sense to direct agape love at Satan's children, at Satan's system. And so what happens? He says, if any man love the world, if any man's directing love, agape love, that God is the source of, he says, the love concerning the Father is not in him. And so it's interesting. What does that mean? Well, you can't be loving as a Christian. You can't be loving God and loving Satan's system at the same time. It's not congruent. And so how does the believer love the Father? Right? We have a relationship with God the Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We love because he first loved us. And 1 John 4:21. It's through the new commandment to love one another. And so 1 John 4:21, and this is the commandment have we from him, that he who is loving God, present tense, loves his brother also. He says in 5:1, everyone believing that Jesus is the Christ is born out from God, and everyone loving him that begat, talking about the Father, loves him also that is begotten out from him. And so there it is. There it is. We can go to other places to show that's also how you love Christ, is through loving the brethren. That's how it's going to get there. You know, when we talk about our relationship to the Father, we have a position in Christ where we've been co-raised and co-seated. In Ephesians in chapter 2, in verse 4, it says, but God. In the Greek, it's articular, the God. And so he's talking about the Father here, and you're going to see that because we're going to have reference to Christ. But the God who is rich in mercy, wealthy, in mercy. Mercy, compassion. That compassion on those that are suffering as a result of sin, of a quality of sin. Whether it's Adamic sin or personal sin, there's suffering involved. And God is rich in mercy. And then it says, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Here's an example. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, has quickened us together with Christ. And so he's made us alive together with. It's a compound word. The with is intimately together. He's made us alive intimately together with Christ. And then he says, by grace you are saved. A perfect passive participle. By grace you are in a state of having been saved and being saved. By grace. By grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But boy, did we get it. And what did we get? In verse 6, he says, and he's raised us. And the word raised us, he's co-raised us together. And he's made us sit together. He's co-seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And so, it's beyond comprehension. But it's for his great love wherewith he loved us that this has happened, and he's made us alive together with Christ, and he's co-raised us and he's co-seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And so this is where the Father counts us to be. He sees us in Christ. This relates to the right hand. And so this is something I wish that all Christians knew, is we have a special relationship with the Father because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's because we're in Christ that we have freedom of communication with the Father. And when we communicate with the Father, the Father sees that as coming from his right hand through Christ. It's through him that we come to the Father. And I don't know, it comes to mind, it didn't exactly have a communication in mind, but when he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, it includes communication. And when you think about these things, we want to be in the right condition. We want to be spirit-filled Christians. And when we're spirit-filled, there's certain things that are a result from being filled. And so we're going to finish up here in Ephesians in chapter 5 today, and I'm going to read 5:18. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, and be not drunk with wine. And drunkenness is a work of the flesh. So be not drunk with wine. Where is excess? Well, yes, there's excess, but the Greek word is actually, just means unsavingness. There's no saving quality to operating in the work or a work of the flesh. So now he's, but in contrast, he says, but in contrast, be filled by the Spirit. And so it's a present passive imperative. We're not going to just go out and do this in our own strength. We're going to have to wait for the Holy Spirit to do that. But be filled, and it's a present tense. The idea of be constantly or repeatedly filled by the Spirit. Filled. Made up where we lack by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's going to follow this verb with five participles. And four of them are active participles. And so these would be things that are naturally happening as a result of Spirit filling. It says in verse 9, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so the speaking, the word speaking is our participle. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then we have our next participle, singing. And then the third is making melody or just psalming. And so singing and psalming in your heart to the Lord. And so we see an effect on the heart as a result of this Spirit filling. And then the next in verse 20, and this is why I came to this, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, even the Father. What's a G sharp? What's referred to as a G sharp in the Greek grammar, which means he's talking about the same person when he says giving thanks always for all things unto the God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the character. And so, we need spirit filling to do that, right? If we're going to do it in his character, we're going to have to be filled and made up where we lack in Christ's likeness. And giving thanks. Now, it's a present active participle. And so just while continuously, giving thanks always for all things. That's an amazing thing for all things. It doesn't say for all good things, for all beneficial things. It says always for all things. And where are we directing that thanks to? It's pretty specific here, please. The God, even the Father, we're communicating from where the Father counts us to be in our position in Christ. And we've been filled at this point by the Holy Spirit to be able to give Him thanks for all things in the name, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then our last participle is in verse 21, and it's actually a passive participle. It says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear, and I would translate this, of Christ, but submitting yourselves, being subject to one another, arranged under one another for benefits in the fear of Christ. The fear of Christ, the Lord, the divine master, the one we should be singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord. The one that we should be understanding what the Lord's will is in verse 17. This is, wherefore be not unwise or just mindless ones, but rather understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so coming to 21, this submitting, this arranging yourself, submitting yourselves one to another, being subject to one another. God is going to provide benefits through the body, from one part of the body to the other part of the body. And part of being Spirit-filled relates to being subject to other believers. It's a present passive participle. This isn't a grit your teeth, by the way. This is a result of Spirit-filling. The same things with the other participles, the giving thanks. It's not something that we're trying to do in our own strength by keeping law. This is a natural result of being Spirit-filled. It's an impressive thing, but I really impressed upon giving thanks always for all things unto the Father. And the majority of our communication is directed to the Father. And when we're doing that, we're doing it from the right hand where the Father counts us to be. It's where He sees us in Christ. And so anyway, I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity, or kind of the built-in sensitivity to the word Father, just to go over some of these verses and to cover them, and just to be reminded of this supernatural potential that we have, this relationship that is ours. And many times we're our own worst enemies. We get in our way. And it's interesting when you think about the humanity of the Lord. That humanity was a perfect example and of Him seeking to do the will of the Father, no matter what the desires of His human nature were. He still was submitting Himself to the will of the Father. And we have the potential for the same thing in the realm of our humanity when we live in the provisions of grace, to be submitting ourselves to the will of God and to the will of the Lord. So anyway, that's my verse medley. I'm not sure if I ended on a high note or not, but let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. We're thankful for the opportunities. We thank You for Your truth, for Your word, for the encouragement that is ours, and thank You for grace and for the privileges that are ours in Christ. And may we be those that are continuing to grow and appreciate those things that you've provided, and may we continue to appreciate the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.